Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Laurus Labs Limited Q3 FY22 earnings conference call hosted by Antique Stock Broking. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal the operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Monish Shah from Antique Stock Broking. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Lizanne. Good morning and a warm welcome to everyone to Laurus' 3Q FY22 results conference call. We thank Laurus management for giving us the opportunity to host this call. Today we have with us Dr. Satyanarayana Chava, Founder and CEO, Mr. V.V. Ravi Kumar, ED and CFO, and Mr. Vivek Kumar, Senior GM, Investor Relations. I would now like to hand the call over to Dr. Satya for his opening comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Monish. Thank you for joining us for our Q3 and nine-month FY22 results conference call. We hope everyone attending this call and their family members, colleagues, and their friends are keeping safe and healthy during these challenging times. We are pleased to have this opportunity to update you on our progress and answer your questions. Since our last earnings call, the world has continued to face unprecedented challenges, both on health and economic fronts. At Laurus, we committed to protecting the health and well-being of our employees and their families. We have continued to implement rigorous safety and hygiene practices across all locations, and this without any complacency. I'm very thankful to our colleagues for rising up to this challenge and deliver on commitments and ensuring business continuity. During the last quarter, our industry has faced some interim challenges due to logistics, raw material availability, and higher prices, especially for solvents. Most of the solvent prices were at all-time high. We are seeing some easing out of these, including the cost of APIs and solvents and availability of raw materials. However, supply chain and logistics cost situation continue to remain challenging. ARV market seen continued sluggishness during the third quarter due to inventory at various channels. However, as we indicated before, we are expecting demand increasing from Q4 onwards. Coming to results over nine months, the revenue has a marginal growth of 3% despite lower sales in ARV APIs and formulations, which resulted in our Q3 degrowth in sales and profits. All other businesses other than ARV APIs have grown for the quarter and nine months. Increased demand for ARV business witnessing from our API customers and formulation sales from global multilateral agencies from Q4 onwards. We believe that this sluggishness is only transient in nature and should be normal from now onwards. Our sustained traction in CDMO is doing very good, and we are on course to expand and intensify our diversification plan as we look to prioritize building sustainable growth drivers in the coming years. We are also affirmative on our aspirational $1 billion in sales in FY23, and this will be supported by several approvals anticipated and good progress what we have seen in multi-site capacity expansion across API formulations and CDMO division. Moving on to revenue. During the nine months, we achieved 3,511 crores as against 3,401 crore. Whereas in the Q3, we achieved 1,029 crore against 1,288 crores in the corresponding quarters. I'm not going into details of each division, but I will love to give the overview of each division. The formulation division reported revenues of 1,389 crores for 9 months with 13% growth, whereas 373 crores for the quarter with a decline of 13%. The contribution from the formulation segment has improved during the 9 months to 40% from 36% in the previous year. Coming to ARV business, overall demand declined due to inventory stocking at various channels, and we are witnessing a normal trend from Q4 onwards. Dolutegravir-based regimens continue to remain preferred ARV and believe its use will also increase rapidly in the second line and also in the pediatric treatments as a new standard of care. Happy to share that Laurus has signed up and will be part of medicine patent pool license for molnupiravir, which is a investigational COVID-19 drug. This will help us to increase the broad access in the LMIC market. Coming to the developed market, we have broadly observed a stable market share for our existing portfolio. We continue to leverage our front-end presence in the US with new launches. We have filed a total of 3 ANDAs during the 9 months. During the quarter, we made a supplementary ANDA filing and expect to file around 6 to 7 ANDAs for the full year. Cumulatively, we have filed 30 ANDAs. Of this, we have a total of 10 final approvals and 8 tentative approvals so far. In Canada, we continue to have 11 product approvals, as we indicated in Q2, of which we have launched 5. And in the process of launching few more. In the EU market, we have completed validation of 2 products as part of the contract manufacturing, and we expect a significant upside in the coming financial year from these products. And we also have successfully completed audit from EU last month for these products. Based on our healthy product pipeline progress, we continue to invest in FDF infrastructure, and our brownfield expansion at Unit 2 is progressing as per our expectations, and it is expected to add significant capacity, which will take the total FDF capacity to close to 10 billion units per year. The capacity will be operational from early next quarter onwards. On the R&D front, we continue to allocate resources to our initiatives and invest in portfolio based on now. Our portfolio now more non-ARV than ARVs. So we identified several products in the portfolio which are complex and also need scale. When it comes to API, our antiviral business during the quarter was weaker than expected and declined almost 65% year-on-year to 202 crores. The steep decline is due to the higher base effect from forwarding purchases made by global agencies during the last financial year. For 9 months of FY22, business reported negative growth of 26%. We continue to believe that the current demand weakness is transient, and we believe Q4 onwards things are looking bright. In oncology APIs, current quarter we did 85 crore sale, reflecting a growth of 33% year-on-year. For 9 months, there is a growth of 8%. As you are aware, Laurus Labs has one of the largest high-potent API capabilities in the country, and we are adding more capacities into the high-potent areas and located at Unit 4. And our aim is to strengthen further our leadership in some of these oncology and high-potent molecules. And other APIs, which includes CV, diabetes, and asthma, reported quite normal sales during Q3, and revenues are grown sequentially at 137 crores. The segment recorded 38% growth quarter on quarter, and there was a slight decline when it comes to 9 months, then 3% decline. During the quarter, we have filed 4 DMFs. Interestingly, 2 DMFs are in non-ARVs, taking the total of number of DMFs to 71 to date. We also initiated validation of several new APIs and expect to see good DMF filings next financial year. In the synthesis business, it was a very strong quarter for us and delivered robust growth of 63% year-on-year at 207 crore. For 9 months FY 2022, CDMO business also grew over 60%. As you're aware, we indicated in the last quarter, we started constructing a dedicated facility for a global life science company, multi-product, multi-year supply contract. We're also investing in one more greenfield facility for synthesis division and also building an R&D center at Hyderabad. All these are progressing as we planned earlier. When it comes to Laurus Bio, the segment achieved a sales of 35 crore, taking to 65 crore for the 9 months FY 2022. During the quarter, Laurus Bio commissioned two more fermenters of 45 KL each, taking to total capacity of 180 KL. There was a few months delay in qualifying the fermenters. Now we can say all the fermenters are running and doing CMO activity for global companies. We're also in process of expanding the research block and also debottlenecking R2, thereby adding more downstream equipments to better utilize the fermenters. Our focus on ESG, quality and regulatory compliance, to drive sustainable growth and further accelerate our pipeline opportunity is one of our top priority. This will add to our journey towards our vision and strengthen our core values. We are in the process of qualifying the manufacturing infrastructure, both in APIs and formulations, to achieve our aspirational target of 1 billion sales mark by end of FY 2023. If we receive the required approvals on time, and we are confident to achieve this target. With that, I would like to hand it over to Ravi to share some financial highlights.
Thank you, Dr. Satya, and very warm welcome to everyone on our quarter three and 9 months earnings call. Total income from operations for 9 months is rupees 3,511 crores as against 3,401 crores with a 3% growth year-on-year. Whereas the quarter we ended up at 1,029 crores against 1,288 crores, reporting a degrowth of 20%. Gross margin for the quarter three is very healthy and at 58.8%, vis-à-vis 54.7% for the corresponding quarter. Our EBITDA came at 290 crores with a margin of 28.2%. Our EBITDA for 9 months is at 1,038 crores with an EBITDA margin at 29.6%. Though this reflected through better product mix and compensated for negative operating leverage. Despite of the ARV lower sales, we could able to achieve these numbers in the first 9 months time. We remain confident of achieving about 30% EBITDA on a full year basis for FY 2022. On diluted EPS for the quarter at 2.90 rupees not annualized and 11.10 rupees for 9 months not annualized. Our ROCE is at 25.5% on an annualized basis. On the CapEx front, we invested close to 246 crores during the quarter and cumulatively about 770 crores in the 9 months time. We remain on course to strengthen our position as a cost-effective integrated pharma player. We are investing in backward integration efforts, in making intermediates, creating further API and FDF capacities. As you're aware that we have embarked upon significant growth CapEx of 1,500-1,700 crore for in 2 years, FY 2022 and FY 2023. We wanted to update most of the investment across key projects is on track. You can refer to our IR presentation for more details in this. With this, I would request the moderator to open the lines for a Q&A.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Tushar Manudhane from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Well, thanks for the opportunity. So on the other API, there has been a good traction. Just would like to understand, is this to do with the new molecule addition or you're seeing the market share gain in the existing molecule?
The other API, we have added one molecule this year, and the growth came from CM contract manufacturing APIs to our customers in Europe.
Okay. Is this to do with the restrictions in China, or you think this is more sustainable run rate to go by?
This has nothing to do with the disturbances because of China. So this is normal growth, and these molecules were doing earlier, and we were able to get more orders because our partner got more market share in his region.
Got it. Okay. And just lastly on this dedicated facility for a global life science company, could you share some more color in terms of what kind of investments on this particular project or what is the size of the contracts and spread over what year?
We can't give you the size of the contract, but it is a multi-product, multi-year contract. And part of the CapEx is also funded through commercial advance. And we just started building facility for that client. And we, as an interim, we also added a manufacturing block in our existing unit 4 to complete the validation of an NCE as part of the contract. Once the new manufacturing unit is up and running, we will transfer this to the new site so that our partner will gain a year in the regulatory approval process. So this is a very significant for us, and a dedicated team is working on the development of those projects, technology absorption of those projects, and things are moving as we anticipated earlier.
And just lastly on molnupiravir, while you know there has been a lot of talks on the efficacy of this and then comparing to the Pfizer drug, but at the same time, you know, we've gone ahead and you know have a license from NPP. So are you seeing a good amount of traction on the business prospects on this product, or given the efficacy, this is not so great a product to look forward for?
There are sales, but it is not meaningful. There were many approvals. Many got licenses from NPP. And ICMR did not include this in the treatment guidelines. So the uptake is not as expected. So the business is not going to be a meaningful one for us.
Thank you. So that's really helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sudarshan Padmanabhan from JM Financial PMS. Please go ahead. Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Padmanabhan. Sir, we are not able to hear you clearly.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Much better. Thank you.
Yeah. My question is to, you know, understand a little bit more on the ARV business. Both if I look at the API side and the formulation side, there has been a drop worse than expected. I mean, you know, when you talk about the inventory and, you know, things getting back to normal, we have basically seen the numbers coming right from over 550 crores a quarter in the fourth quarter of the previous year to about 200 crores. Do we see a gradual ramp-up back to where it was, or are we going to see, you know, pretty faster kind of a, you know, ramp-up? Do you see that in fourth quarter things can normalize completely?
Fourth quarter, we see majority normalization will happen. We are not anticipating our ARV API sales will go back to 400 crores. Maybe Q1 next year will be quite normal. But even though there is a little bit normalization pending for ARV APIs in Q4, but our other divisions are doing extremely well, so we don't see any challenge for us to get back to normal track and normal growth trajectory for us from Q4 onwards.
Sure. And so, I think this is actually, we have done a phenomenal job. You know, we are running around 200-
Sorry to interrupt, sir. We are not able to hear you.
Yes, sir. So my next question is on the synthesis business. I mean, you have done a phenomenal job in terms of the, you know, ramp up, you know, almost moving from 60 crores, you know, in FY 2020, almost a quarter to about 200 crores now. Can you give some color with respect to where do you see the business, let's say, in the next 3 years? You know, given the opportunity, given that we have a dedicated plant for a, you know, customer, what is the kind of scale that we can see? I mean, and what are you doing, you know, at this scale to get, you know, give that kind of importance to this business?
This business is very important to us, and we're giving required focus to strengthen this. We are creating dedicated R&D, we are creating dedicated manufacturing sites. And we believe a 200 crore per quarter is not a big number for CDMO. If you look at the global CDMO companies, they're doing extremely well, and we believe we have all qualities to become a very large player in CDMO. Our regulatory track record, our EHS compliance, our manufacturing quality infrastructure, our team quality. So we have all qualities to become a much bigger player in CDMO place. We can't give you the quantitative numbers how we will do in the next 2-3 years, but we have so many avenues to grow. As we're investing in a new manufacturing site for a customer, we haven't got any revenues from that plant right now. So this business, we believe we are at a very infancy stage. So 200 crores per quarter is very, very small for our aspiration.
I thought with respect to Richcore, I mean, we had a plan that we should be able to kind of-
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Padmanabhan. Sir, we are not able to hear you. We request you to-
Yes, sir. Hello?
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Yeah, yeah. So final question from my side is, you know, when we bought Richcore, they, you know, we wanted to extend the bio capabilities wherever possible in the current business as well. You know, is that happening? Are we starting to look at extending the bio capabilities in the current business and seeing some kind of an operating leverage or synergies going through that?
It is happening as we expected. They have gave several enzymes for our chemical synthesis, and they are optimizing those enzymes to improve the yields. They are also working on classical fermentation of APIs, especially for steroids. So it is going on very well. So what intention we purchased, significant equity there, is working very well.
Sure, sir. Thanks a lot. I'll get back to you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ritesh Rathod from Nippon India. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Can you explain what are the risks and the upsides with the regimen change from TDF to TF, like tenofovir alafenamide?
The regimen change from TDF to TAF is not happening, which we also captured in our investor presentation, so that our investors can also better inform. we don't see any change. So based on the chai projections, the TAF market share gain by end of 2025 is not significant.
Okay.
It's not significant.
Sir, for this quarter, since you provide your standalone numbers as well as consolidated numbers, your subsidiary revenue has gone up sharply to 96 crores versus historical average of 25 crores. Anything particular? Because there has not been proportionate increase in cost or anything in the subsidiary financials, but a sharp jump in revenue. Is it linked to some one-time income over there?
Ravi, do you want to answer this question?
There is no one-time income, but our new one of the subsidiaries started generating revenue.
Yeah, but there was no proportionate increase in the cost or anything when you see historical three quarterly numbers which you provide every quarter.
But so there is no one-off kind of income.
Okay, because your historical average for last 5-6 quarters is 25 crores. This quarter subsidiary number is 96 crores. So the number is a huge jump of 50-60 crores increment.
That's correct. You are right.
Yeah, because your cost base has remained flat or nothing, no change in the cost. Anyway, so maybe if you can explain it later, it would be helpful.
Okay.
That's it. Thank you. That's enough.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next question. That is from the line of Krish Mehta from Enam Holdings. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my question. I just wanted to know the ARV versus non-ARV split for the company as a whole for this quarter.
What is the question? Can you repeat?
I wanted the ARV versus non-ARV split as a whole for the company for this quarter.
About 50%.
Okay, thank you.
Both APIs and formulations put together. Yeah,
thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Bharat Kumar from Quest for Values Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. My question is for Dr. Chava. Regarding the new formulation capacity of 4 billion tablets, which is coming up this year, you said that in the last con call that it would be used by our European partner, and site transfers are already done, and our site is also included in the dossier. And you said that the regulators have scheduled for the site inspection. May I know if this inspection is complete, and did we get the approval for commercial production?
One inspection was concluded 2 weeks back. It was successful.
Mm-hmm.
And one more inspection for packing lines is expected in May this year, and which is on track. See, nowadays inspections are happening online. So we don't see any challenge there.
So we expect revenue coming from June this year.
You're right.
Okay, thank you. And my second question is regarding the global tender. The global tender for ARV formulation, which we got in 2018, I think it is supposed to end last year, but because of COVID, I think it is extended by 1 year, and I think this year end, I think it's going to end. Can you please let me know, like, if you have applied for the new global tender for the next 3 years?
It's extended by a year, so we'll be part of that. See, we are a significant player in not just in APIs, but also in formulations. So we'll be there. Yeah.
So you're applying for the tender.
It's a regular phenomenon. So I'm sure we'll be there.
Okay. So did you get the tender for the next 3 years, or is it like it's in process already?
It will come. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pranav Tendulkar from Rare Enterprises. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks a lot. So when you say that the business will be at a normal margins and normal growth rates, what exactly is normal? Because just 5 quarters ago, 46-47% of, or 6-7 quarters ago, 46-47% of gross margins and sub 20% of EBITDA margin was normal. And clearly the pandemic had supply chain issues and they are getting resolved now. So can you just highlight how the margin can be drastically different from say 5-6 quarters ago going forward? I'm not asking on a quarterly basis, but on a sustainable yearly basis. Thanks a lot.
So we invested in R&D much ahead of the business. We invested in capacities much ahead of the business. And if you look at our R&D expenditure remained constant as a number, but as a percentage, it came down by almost 3.5-4%. And our manpower cost used to be 12%, 13%, now it is about 9%. So if you look at 4% came from R&D expenditure, 4% came from manpower. So this is the operational leverage that led us to EBITDA margin expansion. EBITDA margin expansion has nothing to do with COVID because we are not in the COVID-related products. We don't have remdesivir, we don't have other biological products. So our growth in EBITDA margins came because of the expansions planned and the commercialization of those facilities, commercialization of those products.
Perfect, sir. But on gross margin level, the increase of 5% points?
Yeah. You asked a very interesting question. The gross margin improvement is because of expansion of non-ARV business.
Right. No. I'm asking about 5% points over last 7-8.
That's what I'm saying.
ARV pre-COVID. Okay.
That is because of our ARV. Non-ARV business is growing much faster than ARV business.
Right.
So non-ARV business, synthesis business, formulation business, other API business are more profitable, more gross margin business than the ARV business. That is the reason EBITDA expanded and also gross margin expanded. So there are multiple things which led to the EBITDA expansion, operational leverage and then gross margin improvement.
Right. Perfect. So that makes sense. So just two supporting data or view if you can give. So what is the price correction on ARV and other products or formulations that have happened from say during COVID? And what is the difference in the two gross margins, ARV and non-ARV, if you can actually provide some comfort to investors about that?
That's difficult to give numbers. So we don't want to give the split. How much we are making in ARV formulation, how much in other formulations. Because that is a very sensitive information which we don't want to speak.
Okay. Thanks a lot for the opportunity, sir.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Jeevan Patwa from Candy Floss Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, sir, for a very good set of numbers. So there are a few things that I liked about the number. One is obviously the CDMO sales has been 207 crores this quarter, which is a very good run rate. So question is this sustainable run rate for the next few years, or next year you think this run rate will be even higher from here?
Our synthesis business, as I explained, the 200 crore is very small for our capabilities. So we do expect significant growth in this business.
And secondly, you said it's too little for our aspiration. So what is your aspiration for synthesis business, sir? How much you will see your synthesis business in the next 3 years or 4 years?
By FY25, we want this business to be at least 25% of our overall revenue.
25%. So you are including biologics as well in this CDMO?
All.
Okay. Second question is, in the biologic side, we have 25 crore run rate quarterly and we have commissioned two more fermenters. So can we assume it's going to be 50 crore from here onwards? Can we assume that?
It will be around 40 crores probably until we expand capacity further.
Okay. And in one of the interview, Mr. Rajesh Krishnamurthy of Richcore has actually said that they are planning for 2 million liter fermentation by early 2023.
Yes. They have taken land
Okay.
30-acre land, and
okay.
In the process of finalizing the design and also talking to the customers who intend to use that capacity. So 2 million liter will not be put in one go. They will put in a phased manner of 1 million plus 1 million plus 1 million. In fact, the land can accommodate up to 3 million liter fermentation capacity.
Wonderful, sir. Wonderful, sir. Thanks a lot, sir. And next is, so if I look at 9 months numbers, our sales have actually gone up 3%, but our profit, so gross profit has actually gone up by 130 crores. But our PBT is down because of our, obviously the operating leverage. So we have got depreciation, interest, other expense and other costs basically going up. So that has eaten up our PBT. But our inventory actually went up from 185 to 325, so almost 140 crore increase in our inventory. So the question is, do you see the some part of that inventory getting liquidated in Q4?
Yes, sir. Our ability to ramp up production and then the ARV demand will come all of a sudden. So we are prepared to take that opportunity. So we are not having any concerns on this inventory level, sir. Yeah.
Perfect, perfect. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Hussain Kagzi from Ambit Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. So my first question was with regards to formulation. So if I get it correctly, 65 to 70% of our formulations is ARV. So I just wanted to know that since we are seeing a decline in the ARV API side of it, so is there any case of this being shown or similar decline being visible in the formulation side, probably with a lag effect? So that is my first question.
There was decline in the ARV formulation, but not to the tune of ARV API decline. ARV API, quarter on quarter, we saw 65% decline. But we didn't see that much decline in formulation. There was a 20% decline in formulations, but not to the tune of API decline.
All right. And any update on the approvals that we were seeking to get on the formulation side of it? So by when do we expect to get those approvals, non-ARV?
One we are expecting this quarter and one maybe in the month of April. So we are having a lot of approvals pending with various agencies and we are on track to get those. There was a delay of 3 quarters. Not because of our facilities are everything is on track now.
All right, got it. And lastly, so there's no doubt that ex-ARV we have done exceptionally well. If I see growing at 45% CAGR for 2 years, if I go by your numbers, so I think as of Q3, I think it's still 50% of our revenue. So you know, the remaining 50% of our business is ARV. So basically, I just wanted to get a sense that you did mention that there'll be a little bit of volatility in the ARV API side of it. I understand that's the nature of the business, but on a steady state, what would be, say, your view or your assumption, or where do you see a steady state run rate for that business in the future, say, FY24 or 25? Because we finished the year, I think, at around 1300 to 1400 crores in ARV API. So is that a stable run rate which can be seen in the future, barring the quarterly volatility? So I just wanted to understand that part, if you can help me.
1600 crore could be the base what we think is sustainable in the ARV APIs.
Right. And that would be for the next 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much for taking my question. Wish you the best and I'll get back in the
next.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next question. That is from the line of Tushar Bora from MK Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Good morning to everyone. So just one point on your, one of the slides, I saw that the gross margin expansion YOY, I think slide number 5, your gross margin expansion YOY is significantly higher. And or rather I'm referring to slide number 8. So we have a 410 bps YOY gross margin expansion and a 540 bps EBITDA compression YOY. So that's almost a 900 bps swing between gross margin to EBITDA, you know. So while some of this could be possibly because of operating deleverage, because of lower sales, I'm sure there would also be some costs associated with new capacity, which is still not contributing. Can you just help us with the breakdown of, you know, where this this slippage has happened?
As you rightly mentioned, the operational deleverage reduced the EBITDA margins because we have the facilities, we have the teams, we have the investments into R&D. All those are happening without revenues. That was the reason for EBITDA degrowth. Whereas the gross margin improvement is because of the product mix. All of you are aware the ARV APIs are not high gross margins when compared to the rest of the business. So ARV APIs were less than 25% of our sales this quarter, Q3. Our EBITDA margin improved because of that. Sorry, gross margins improved because of that.
Sir, how much of the capacity is not revenue generating today? Or is you know, let's say, so how much of the cost can be attributed to capacities that will start contributing, you know, meaningfully going forward? New capacities.
Ravi, do you want to answer this question?
Yes. The whatever be the new additions we have done capitalization this year, that is not generating any revenue, Tushar.
So how much either gross block or the cost of these facilities, you know, operating cost, some metrics, sir, would be helpful?
I'll give the gross block wise. 25% of our capex is not yielding revenues right now.
25% of your capex done over FY22?
No. 25% of our gross block.
25% is your gross block.
Yeah.
So it would be fair to assume, sir, that at least 300 to 400 bps slippage would be only because of this new capacity which is not yielding revenue and not necessarily operating deleverage?
Yeah, we are broadly in that direction, sir.
Okay. So, different question. Now, we see a significant contribution from synthesis this quarter and below normal contribution in that sense from the ARV APIs. Is it fair to assume that there would have also been some gross margin compression on the API side and therefore the overall addition from synthesis in margin is much higher than the 200 bps suggests?
We can't give the margins that granular, sir. Yeah.
Okay, I won't ask for specifics, but is it fair to assume, sir, that our synthesis margins would be significantly higher than the corporate average?
Yes.
And likewise, formulation margins would be reasonably higher than the corporate average?
Maybe see, synthesis, formulations, and other APIs and ARVs. That's the order.
Sure. So finally, one last question. If you can help understand qualitatively what are the things happening on synthesis side, I mean, we are talking about 800 crore run rate annualized today. And if I do the math correctly, 25% of your revenue in 3 years would be about 2,500-3,000 crores. So you're talking almost a 3 to 4x jump in synthesis over a 3 year period. Just help us understand, you know, the demand side breakdown to this. Do we have specific contracts in place or what kind of discussions we are having? Something, sir, that would help us understand this sharp pull up.
We can give you a very broad view. So we're building a dedicated facility for the contract which we have signed. As of now, the contract is not giving any revenues. So that's the one significant. We have contracts in place, multi-product, multi-year. And two products which may go from phase 2 to 3 and commercial in the next 2 to 3 years. Those are also very significant. We are the only one source for those projects. And we have a lot of projects, a lot of customers that were added into CDMO. I'm not saying every product will be successful. with every customer. So that risk is there in CDMO. But we have a lot of projects and we are building capacities to take on those opportunities.
So this new project, sir, that we are referring to, for which you are building up a dedicated capacity, it would be fair to assume that it is sizable in context of current synthesis revenues?
Very sizable.
Okay. Fair enough, sir. Thank you so much and wish you all the best for the coming quarters.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next question. That is on the line of Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking the question, sir. Dr. Chava, on you know, the other API business, so rather let me go top down first. You talked about the fact that FY23, you're still holding you know, belief that you can achieve $1 billion top line. Now that's almost 7,500 crore top line, you know, versus the 4,000 crore run rate that we had for the quarter. Very large jump that we're talking about from a very short period of time. And you said that this is subject to some of the approvals coming through on time. Sir, in which segments are these approvals, this guidance contingent on? Which segment these approvals would be in our business?
Diabetes, cardiovascular, these are the two where we are expecting approvals. Yeah. And at the same time, you are seeing the run rate of Q3. So this year, if you look at 9 months, we have done 3,500 crores. So, your run rate of 4,000 crores for this year is not is on the lower side. Okay.
Fair enough, sir. And sir, on diabetes and cardiac that you mentioned, so these are approvals on the formulations on the API side, and any specific market that you're looking at where the approvals are contingent?
For Europe as well as the North American markets.
Okay. And so these would be the primary driver for our other API business?
Other API and formulations growth.
Okay. And then what would be currently assuming once the APR, the ARV formulation business normalizes, at the current 6 billion capacity, what is the capacity utilization of a formulation plant right now?
Right now it is very good actually. So not much of their capacity available now. That is the reason we're building in a phased manner from, in fact, next month onwards.
And so when do you see this capacity of 10 billion getting completely utilized, you know, in your assessment?
By maybe the early first quarter of 2024.
Okay. And then lastly, on the oncology business, oncology API business, how should we look at that business? Are there newer molecules that are looking to add in that segment? Or do you see opportunities for significant volume growth with existing products?
It's both, sir. It's both.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next question. That is on the line of Ranveer Singh from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. So my question relates to our aspirational goal to have $1 billion revenue by FY23. So just wanted to understand if you could you know, explain in little in detail, because going by the API revenue, we are saying we will not be able to reach the historical peak on ARV segment, and that 25% upside in next 2 years, next 3 years in CMO. So just I wanted to, you know, understand that how much, because even 9 month figure annualized, or even a better gap, some $650 million kind of $650 million kind of revenue. So $350 million remains a gap for FY23. So that I wanted to understand.
See, in the API space, from November onwards until April this year, we are adding 25% more capacity than what we had earlier. That's very significant. And as we are discussing, our formulation capacity is almost doubled, going to be doubled from the current capacity to the expanded capacity. So what we need to have, first one is capacity, second one is products approval, and then customers. So we have capacity, we are in the process of getting approval, and the customers are happy to buy. So why we are saying aspiration is billion, for that we need to have capacity first, which we have done. And then approvals are going on. And our customers are happy to buy from us because we are not adding a new customer. We are increasing sales to our existing customers. So that is the reason we are still comfortable with that number.
Okay. And just I missed on ARV API side, I think one of participants asked that average, the kind of normal revenue, where we see the normal revenue on quarterly basis coming to, because if I factor the restocking cycle and de-stocking cycle, the average should be some 350, 400 crore kind of revenue. So are we reaching there?
Yes, we expect Q4 onwards we'll reach that level, closer to 400 crores ARV APIs.
Okay. And in your commentary, you said that three elements actually was challenging, availability of raw material, logistics, and prices of certain products. So availability of raw material, did you mean related to ARV API or some other API?
Other APIs, not specifically ARVs.
And what's the status now? Availability
no, it's improved. It's improved. See, the availability is there, but we have to pay higher price.
Okay, fine. And last one, what is the current debt? After this expansion, we believe that debt would go up. So what is the status right now?
Ravi?
Around 1750 crore debt. As we indicated before, by March, our debt is going to increase, but from next year onwards, we are expecting debt to be reduced.
Okay, that's it for my side. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tarang from Old Bridge Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good morning. Four questions from me. First, on the synthesis business. So this business largely entails manufacturing of intermediates or APIs or both?
Both.
Okay. As you move forward with this business and you ramp it up, what proportion of your revenues here are likely to be from new molecules, either commercialized or in the process of commercializing?
As I mentioned, by FY25, so we have a strategy to take synthesis division revenue contributing a quarter of our total revenues.
And all of it would be from new molecules, right? Under commercialization, trials, or getting commercialized. Would that be accurate?
From new clients or existing contracts, new products.
But NCEs largely. Right?
NCEs, yes, you're right. See, the synthesis division, our approach is we don't add the CMO of generic APIs in this. CMO of generic APIs will go into the generic division only. So these are one product, one customer business comes here.
Got it. So amongst the plants that you have here, are these FDA approved capacities?
Current capacities are all FDA approved. The one we are building will also go through approval when we validate products.
Correct. And last, how much is the capex for 9 month FY22?
About 700 crores. We did capex the first 9 months.
The plan for the next 3 months would be?
FY22 and 23, our capex will be in the range of 1500 to 1700 crores. So okay. That number is still valid.
Got it. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Krish Mehta from Enam Holdings. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my follow-up. So basically, as you mentioned, the future possibility of this 25% of your gross block being utilized, could you actually throw some light on what this future revenue possibility might be of this 25% that's not being utilized?
As we explained, we have built this facility to meet our product demand and our customer demand. So we can't give you the specific number, but see, it's the asset turnover ratios, if you look at, it's about between 1.2.5. So it's in that level.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next question. That is from the line of Aejas Lakhani from Unify Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, thanks, Dr. Sava. My questions are answered, but since I have the opportunity, just wanted to understand that from a gross margin perspective and EBITDA perspective, can you give some guidance for or how you are thinking about FY23 and 24?
See, for the last several quarters, we were saying, although we had much higher than 30% EBITDA, but we were talking to our investors saying that we are confident to maintain 30% EBITDA for FY22 and beyond. If you look at our 9 months, we were very close. We are more than 29.5% EBITDA for the first 9 months. And then Q4, we are also confident to achieve the 30% EBITDA. So we are comfortable to say again that our business now is capable of generating EBITDA margins of 30%, around 30%.
Got it, sir. Thanks, sir. I'm done.
Yeah. Thanks, sir.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Ritesh Rathod from Nippon India. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, sir, for giving the opportunity again. So in ARV API, how has price movement happened from the peak? How much would have been the correction from the peak?
It is 2 to 3% lower than the earlier.
Okay.
It is not big. See, it's highly matured products. So none of them are newly launched products. So products are matured. So price fluctuation is not significant.
And so in terms of both API, ARV API and formulation, are there any new players which have got empaneled in the global tenders of PEPFAR and all the old players who were empaneled, are they becoming more active? What's the competitive scenario you are sensing for next 6 to 12 months?
In the formulation space, you can expect one or two new players coming in. But in the API space, at least in the next 12 to 24 months, we haven't seen anyone investing big infrastructure to get into the ARV API space.
Okay. Yeah. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prashant Nair from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Ravi, just one clarification on your margins comment which you made earlier. So when you said that you're confident of maintaining 30% EBITDA margin, was that for the fourth quarter or was that for the full year as a whole?
Full year.
Okay, so you believe you can make up some of the, so in the 9 months, I think you're at 29.2 or 3%. So that you can make up in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that can make up, yes.
Okay, fine. And secondly, just a follow-up question to what the earlier participant asked on pricing. So on ARV formulations, while volumes have been lower, in the tenders? Has pricing also corrected through the last say 3-4 quarters?
Pricing corrected in the ARV formulations. See, here when we are saying pricing is not like 5%, 10% reduction like what we are here in other regions. Here it is a 1%, 2% reduction in the pricing. Yeah.
Okay, fair. Thanks a lot. That's it.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, we'll be taking the last question. That is from the line of Dhaval Shah from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Hello, Dr. Shah.
Hi, sir.
So just on that understanding, I want on the ARV side, like when we're discussing about ARV business in the past couple of quarters and years, you know, we always have a good visibility of our volumes. So in last three quarters, what happened in the, you know, in terms of the procurement by the by the agency, that we saw this dip in our volumes? Just from my understanding, if you could, you know, please explain.
If this decline is only for Laurus Labs, then it is a concern. That means we are losing market share and somebody is gaining. This you might have seen from the other listed companies, how much ARV revenue decline they have shown, then we have done better when compared to them. So this decline in ARV APS is only transient. Our ARV APS sale depends on how other our customers are successful in tenders. Whereas our formulation sale follows the general trend of the other formulation companies. So if you look at our decline in ARV formulations sale is less when compared to the ARV API sale. Yeah.
Okay. So I mean, you mentioned you'll be maintaining around 1,500 crores of annual run rate on the ARV API side, which will be on a quarterly basis, it will be much lower than what peak we had around 550 crores odd. So why this less number? So what is changing in the end market?
Maybe we're cautious in saying that number.
Okay. Fair enough, sir. Thank you. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Thank you, everyone, for your interest and patience and asking some very insightful questions, which will help us to reshape, realign any of our priorities. Thanks, Monish. Thanks, Vivek and Ravi Kumar for the
Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Antique Stock Broking, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.